What do you think of this as an alternative form of transport? Do you think
I like
you could take
it
on?
I really, really like it. You know, I'm sure there's someone up there in stuck in traffic wanting to get somewhere. And if they're in this, it's peaceful, it's relaxing.
That's one of the hardest questions anyone ever asked me. I think for me, because I often think about doing less or slowing down or enjoying the journey as opposed to just, you know, all about the destination. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I would just hope that we'd actually do work out a way where we could travel less, and when we do travel, enjoy it when it happens.
You have different aspects in the whole question, because you have the ecological aspects and you also have the practical aspects that people want to travel and it's not working anymore with all those traffic jams and with this lack of energy.
I wonder whether, like, in the future we'll all realise quite what a bad idea the motor car was. It seemed such a great idea at the time, but it actually kind of... It nearly ruined us.
The canal is a place to where, you know, you can still find some serenity and peace and quiet and time for contemplation. Even though, I mean, we're not that far off what is tended to be known as rush hour. But I'm not really thinking about rush hour, I'm thinking about that duck or... You know,
I think it's going to look really archaic, even in 5-10 years' time, when we are saying, oh, you know, do you remember when we were using cars and petrol? And I think it's going to look really, really like old-fashioned, and that's going to make us look from a particular era very quickly, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, we were of the era when there were cars and when the internet was invented. And I think that's, like... Yeah. I think it's very defining.
You know, this moment is so kind of perfect and beautiful that part of me thinks maybe it'd be nice if nothing changed. Public space was, particularly around residential areas, was much more personal. And they have become intensely unpersonal because of the car. But this is quite the opposite. This is really personal. Mm. Because there isn't anything demanding our attention or trying to run us over or, you know, a real risk to us. And this is very... Like something should be cherished, and it's what we've lost from our streets, I guess.
Now, something should happen. For sure. I mean, you think the way roads used to be used for children to play in and play football in, and sit out in the road, and old men sit in armchairs on the edge of the road.
I often dream of a world without cars. Mostly not so much to do with the environmental aspects of it, although there is that, but also the way in which cars change people's behaviour. A sort of wildest dream future is one in which actually people are encouraged to be communal in their transport and collective.
If I think ahead about transport, I feel like we've reached a kind of nadir of individualism, you know, and the car is that. It's like before there was any concern of resources, you had a car, it was a status symbol, you used it, it was the most efficient, easy way of going. And now I think in the future we're going to have to think more collectively again. We've kind of pushed ourselves to the limit.
I like the aspect of public transport that it does bring people together and puts people in each other's faces. Obviously that can be as annoying as it is occasionally satisfying, but
I think that could be a really beautiful scenario, actually, that there might be a kind of future of working with animals much more closely again. So, I don't know, the obvious ones are horses, camels, llamas, things, donkeys, things like that. But then there might be other ones as well, you know, maybe, for example, the St. Bernard that carries the rum when you're stuck up on a mountain. Or, I'm not sure, carrier pigeons. You know, that there are actually other forms of mobility with animals, and how, if one went back to that, but with our new kind of technological era, what new products and what new spaces would start to arise around kind of interacting with animals much more closely.
We could have travelators connecting up the whole country. They could be cool. If I had a travelator, I could jog from between London and Birmingham in, you know, probably take me like an afternoon.
I think I'd also like the idea of like a really big slide that just connected you to all of these different places, and you just could get off leisurely at your own pace. But it was so extensive that you could go anywhere.
A sort of big networks of tubes in the sky, so I suppose I'm thinking it's more vertical than horizontal. Like, roads and canals are both really horizontal. And I sort of picture the future as being more vertical and being able to maybe travel in the sky.
Much as I believe in public transport, everybody's going to want to be able to fly of their own accord and go in their own direction. And there are going to have to be some kind of rules about highways or the equivalent of canals in the sky, so we don't all bump into each other. But if there's a way of making us defy gravity, we then need very little effort, because there's the wind and the sun to provide the energy to drive us in whatever direction we choose to punch into our computer.
I also like the idea of almost being catapulted places as well. Going from like A to B, just using the power of like a large elastic band, whether, you know, you could be put on some sort of rails. I guess maybe that can be the way that the catapult works, is you've got a giant spring on the other end and you let go and it sort of clicks into place so that people can get off. And then you let it, you press a button, it springs back. That could work.
I don't know how deep the average canal is, but I can imagine that if you're going to use it for traveling, that my idea for personal helicopters could also work for personal undersea boats.
You can point it down just to the pure perspective of it, and being a little bit lower to the water, and at the speed we're going, looking up a lot more and really observing the buildings we're going past. You know, it feels quite lucky, actually. But also the idea of talking about new ways of looking at transportation, the more thinking there is about different ways of managing people moving and people interacting as they do that, I think the better it can be.
It's great to be up high to see things in connection and networks, but it's also really important to see things literally at at ground level, and the canal does that brilliantly. It puts you actually below ground level, and that's really, I think, really, really, really important. You start to see things from different ecological perspectives as well, because you become something other by being on the water. You're not just standing in that vertical human way. You're obviously horizontal, and you're you can't quite say that you become another species, but you certainly have a sense of experiencing the landscapes that you've made as a species from other perspectives.
The world's becoming so, so small, but when you actually have to paddle yourself from A to B, then that completely just grounds you back into the idea of making a journey, and the time involved in making a journey, and the effort involved in getting from locality A to locality B.
You know, there's this whole thing about how, depending on the type of transport that you choose, you find that your body kind of tunes in with it very carefully. So in terms of speculating on the repercussions, which I think is the thing I was talking about, is trying to describe the repercussions of these new foot modes of transport, as opposed to just describing the new modes of transport. I mean, one thing might be, or one way that one might describe some of those things, is by looking at the new sort of body forms that start to appear in parallel with these new forms of transportation. So there may be not only people with far more stronger and bigger upper bodies, but actually the whole culture that appears around that.
A future where we swim more, mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there'd be more technology. I tell you what, it would be really great if we could become more amphibious, I think, and actually develop that aqualung and swim and live in the oceans for longer and get around perhaps that way. Hello! You know, sometimes technology seems to have slowed down our sort of physical development.
Well, surely eventually, you know, we'll all become completely disembodied, right? And we won't need to travel around because we'll just teleport. I don't know, like some kind of really extreme version of Skype, except you teleport somehow to a different, like you set up a phone line and then you go down the phone line.
Now you're asking, teleportation would be cool. And it's often something I wish I could do. So something that could instantly transport you from one place to another. You know, you just waste a couple of hours getting from place to place. Getting that time back, some way of doing it instantaneously would be amazing.
There's a nice quote, I think, from the Bible, which says that the soul only travels as fast as a camel. And it's a nice idea. And rather strange to think that if we then travel faster than a camel, what happens to our soul? Gets kind of left behind.
I think the experience of being on a canal is obviously beautiful and relaxing, but it's possibly a little bit too slow in its pace for the world that we live in now. I mean, people just don't tolerate a lack of speed.
Yeah, there's so much peace, there's no rush. And I think you're paying much more attention in where you go and or here sitting in the boat. It is not fast, it's a slower way to move on. And this slows you down, slows the mind down, I guess, which is good. A speed limit. Yes, thank you.
Very much.
See, this man mentioned exactly what I meant. You can take your time.
The future is such an interesting one because, yes, sort of which future?
There are many futures. And I definitely imagine one where there is no moving around. And things are at a standstill. And the resources are built into what, you know, what there are where you are.
The canals are a cross-section in much more of a sense than the physical sense, I think. They're a cross-section because you can't predict, you don't know them, they're unfamiliar, and you can't predict what you're going to find around the corner. And all kinds of routes end at the canal, or cross over the canal. And it gives you, I think, it's like a metaphor for the way in which you live your life, in a sense. There's a randomness where you cross all kinds of different paths. And I think that helps people to travel in their heads.
Which way do we go? Straight?
This way, yeah.